You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In 2003, while he was waiting for his new restaurant to open, James Beard Award-winning chef Andrew Carmellini did something he hadn't done for 15 years. He started cooking at home in a cramped New York City apartment. He found the experience both maddening and inspiring, and it also inspired his new cookbook called Urban Italian, which is published by Bloomsbury. And I'm very pleased to welcome Andrew Carmellini to our show today. Hi.
Great. Thanks for having me.
How big is the kitchen in your apartment? I would have assumed that a chef would live in, even if it was a studio, it would be a studio with a huge kitchen.
Well, this is, I think we measured it was 65 square feet. You know, kind of your standard New York City white stove. It was a rental at the time. And it's amazing what you can do if you put how many people you can actually cook for out of that apartment.
But Mark Bittman, the minimalist columnist for the New York Times, recently responded to to reader inquiries about his kitchen, which struck them as being quite small in the photos. And he says he can test everything that he does in his column.
You know, you would think that I would have the beautiful Viking stove and the, you know, in Manhattan that's always not the case. You know, that's the It's the dream is to have the country house with the beautiful stove and maybe the garden outside.
But even under the best of circumstances, you're never going to duplicate a restaurant kitchen.
Well, no. One thing about a restaurant kitchen is that, you know, I have 20 assistants and a couple sous chefs and 7 dishwashers.
Dishwasher, Bain Marie, and you have all these other things that nobody would have in a home.
Dishwasher is the thing that I always miss the most because when you have to do your own dishes, you're really conscious of how many pots you use.
How many adjustments do you have to make if you are cooking in a small kitchen? I mean, you weren't cooking restaurant recipes, were you?
Well, that was kind of how the book came about, is that, you know, I had a lot of time on my hands and was cooking a lot at home and enjoying it, but, you know, is making that adjustment from, you know, in restaurants will tend to, you know, especially on the higher end, they'll tend to compartmentalize dishes. And this is all about taking those different compartments and putting them together and saying, oh, well, let's just use one pot or two pots and get the same or sometimes even better results. I think sometimes when you start to pull out pieces of dishes and arrange them on a plate, you kind of lose the soul of cooking a little bit. And so that was this whole process that happened.
Are there certain kinds of things that small space cooks should avoid trying to make?
I mean, I wouldn't. Sauteing foie gras at home is really, especially without a ventilation, is really, and you know, those that terrines and heavy meat work, I think, is even though I've tried it all, I would keep it simple.
Also, it really does make have a powerful odor if you're doing something like broiling a steak on a frying pan. The apartment smells of steak for 3 days afterward.
There's nothing. I've tried it all. I've tried using the broiler and putting a fan in the door. I've tried, you know, opening up the window and putting the fan so it goes the other way. It never seems to work.
Now, you had been the executive chef at Café Boulou, a French restaurant, before you began cooking at home. But this book is called Urban Italian. Had you always wanted to cook Italian food?
I mean, even at cafe, I have this kind of the same problem with cooking like I have with music, is I love every kind of music as long as it's good, whether it's bluegrass or hip-hop or death metal or whatever it is, as long as it's good. And at cooking, I always feel the same way, is that I love to cook things from all over the world. I'm American. I worked in France. I worked in Italy. I worked for great French chefs, great Italian chefs. But I love cooking Thai and Mexican also. So I think when it came down to doing my first restaurant on my own and then kind of writing about the experience and getting to what made me most happy, that's where Italian kind of came into play.
Well, you grew up in Cleveland in an Italian family. Mm-hmm. So Italian food was the food that you ate when you were growing up?
Italian Polish, actually. Half Polish. So you have
So how does that affect things?
Well, it's good cooking on both sides. Actually, this Christmas I did a huge Polish meal because I had that whole side of the family for Christmas time. But it means we use more cabbage, really.
Well, there are places where I guess all cuisines meet, aren't there? Dumplings occur in practically every cuisine in the world.
Ravioli or a dumpling is really the, when you think about it, every cuisine has one almost, some kind of pocket of dough filled with something good to eat.
So when you came up with this idea of urban Italian, were you thinking Cleveland urban Italian? Were you thinking New York urban Italian? Were you thinking Rome or Florence Venice?
Kind of a combination of all of it. The urban part originally started because, you know, when I started writing the book and started cooking the recipes that are in the book, it was in our small Manhattan apartment, and it was, you know, going out to Bensonhurst and, you know, going to Coluccio's and getting certain ingredients, going up to Arthur Avenue, getting certain ingredients. And then I started, you know, you think about Italy, and it's a very urban cuisine, even though the last 20 years you think of these tables spread out in the vineyards and...
That's the fantasy, anyway.
Yeah, you know, it's cypress trees and having lunch for hours, but really, you know, the great Italian dishes, it's risotto milanese, named after Milan. It's tagliatelle bolognese, named after, and that's where all the wealth was in the cities, and it was a very urban kind of cooking, and that's where, it's a very personal book, full of, you know, these stories and recipes, and, you know, I live in New York for a long time now, so that's the title.
And looking for ingredients, you had to go all over. You've included a list of sources of some of the ingredients that allow you to do something that is closer to cooking in Italy. And we've actually put that on our show page on our website, wmyc.org. Great. But that obviously took a lot of time. You had to go to the Bronx. You had to go to Brooklyn.
Well, we're going there anyways. I mean, even at Cafe Bleu, where I cooked a lot of Italian dishes, not only French, you know, dishes. We would make a run up to Arthur Avenue to go to Calabria Pork Store and get.
They don't just deliver to the famous restaurants.
You know, I tried. You know, I've tried so hard to get Biancardi Meats on Arthur Avenue has something. It's I've never seen it anywhere before, and I've tried to get it from my suppliers. It's they're veal oxtails, and they're amazing. If braised with some spices and some meat jus and put over risotto, is so delicious and so. It's just so satisfying, and I can never get them anywhere. So whenever we wanted to do a veal oxtail dish, we'd have to jump on the train and go up to Arthur Avenue to get them.
You wonder why more people don't offer it if it tastes good.
That's a good question.
My guess is Andrew Carmelini, who with Gwen Hyman has written Urban Italian, Simple Recipes and True Stories from a Life in Food. The book is published by Bloomsbury. Gwen Hyman is your wife.
Yes.
Now, had she been cooking in this kitchen before you attempted to find a way to come up with good results?
Well, I mean, part of this process, the book was a lot of fun to do. You know, Gwen is, she's a writer and an academic. And
a vegetarian.
She used to be a vegetarian.
Because there are a lot of vegetarian recipes.
Well, there's a lot of, vegetarian, I mean, there's a lot of vegetable cooking in Italian, you know, cuisine to get inspired from. It doesn't have to be, as Gwen would say, pork every day. I can eat vegetarian on Tuesday and then have a big, huge steak on Wednesday, no problem.
Well, they say that one of the ways that you can spot a chef who's just come over from another country is that he or she will use less meat as time goes on, as they become more Americanized. The proportion of meat to vegetables changes.
That's interesting.
Well, did you find that in Italy? Do people use less meat?
No, I think it's maybe the portion size of meat is probably smaller because there'll be many other things to eat with the meal, and if you're having a pasta course on top of it, you don't necessarily want a huge piece of veal, a huge piece of beef afterwards. You really feel full, but...
Well, though we do see that happening in New York restaurants because people I'd like that on that, you know, for the appetizers. I'd like that in the second course.
I'm guilty of it, too. If I'm going out to eat and I'm hungry, I'm at a restaurant that I love for a chef who's cooking I love, I'm going to definitely try many things and not always finish them all. Or if I do finish it all, it's always a challenge.
When you were 18, your family actually took a trip to Italy, and that's when you discovered that Italian food could be very different from what you were eating in the United States?
Well, that's, we took this family trip, and a lot of my, family from Friuli and from Tuscany, we all loaded up in the van, and, I was cooking when I was a teenager at a couple different restaurants, and one was this huge Italian restaurant, and but the dish that really, was the kind of like, oh my God moment was gnocchi, and the place that I had, we made gnocchi at home, and they were pretty light and fluffy, but then at the restaurant, they were buying this gnocchi that came frozen in a bag, and that I'm probably still digesting a couple of them to this day.
Like lead sinkers.
And then that trip, I think it's on the second day, we went to a trattoria that my uncle knew and had a very, very simple dish of gnocchi with tomato sauce and fresh cut basil. And they were just like the most light, fluffy, dancing on your tongue type of things you've ever had before. And it was like, oh my God, okay, this is going to be different than the sausage and peppers and the kind of Italian-American thing.
So did you figure out how to duplicate that? I mean, can you duplicate that in the United States?
Well, gnocchi you can, that's for sure. And the recipe I have in the book that's one of the recipes in the book that I have a bunch of different photographs on the technique to make them. It's a recipe that has five ingredients, and I find a lot of times with recipes with five ingredients are the ones you probably screw up the easiest because maybe your potatoes aren't perfect or maybe your oven was too hot. So that's why I wanted to have like instructions to make that. And not even my dad's making now. My dad called me up a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, oh, we made gnocchi from the book, and it came out unbelievable. That was a proud moment.
Your uncle played a prank on you at one restaurant. What did he do?
We had it was again. I was a teenager, but in Cleveland, and we land in Milan, and he knew I was working at restaurants, and I love to eat and I love to cook, but they were going to try to see if they could one up on me, and we got to this restaurant for lunch, and they ordered some chopped up raw meat, and they were all kind of like laughing and snickering and waiting for me to try it, and we tried it, and the laughter got much louder, and I said, "What's the big deal? This is delicious." And he goes, "Well, it's horse." And they, of course, wanted me to like spit it out and say, "Oh, that's that was disgusting." But even back then, I wanted to try new things. And
you can't do that in this country; it's illegal, isn't it?
Yeah, no horse in this country. But there's still in Italy, they have some cavolotterias.
When you were going to the Culinary Institute of America, I guess you decided you really had to learn to cook on another level. You worked as a personal chef. Is that good training? Because I know any number of chefs have done that.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a training mechanism. It's not really. I mean, then I was a personal chef to Mario Cuomo at the time.
That's pretty heavy.
Which was a great job to have when you're 18 and 19 and a part-time job for school. But it's not training. You need to get training as a great chef. You need to work for a great chef, in a great restaurant, or with a great cook who's cooking every day. Teaching yourself sometimes is it's great to teach yourself some things, but you need some kind of ground to stand on, I think.
We were talking about ingredients before, and some of the ingredients here are quite specific, like fresh Calabrian oregano. It has to be Calabrian? I can't just get oregano in the local supermarket?
I mean, the Calabrian kind of I referred to the oregano on the branch. In the beginning of the book, I also mentioned, if there's any ingredient. I wanted this to be a book where you could make things at home, and people outside of New York could make things at home. And even though I tried really, really hard to do that, I still still get comments that people couldn't find certain things. But that's one of the things that really makes a difference, I think, in Italian cooking, are those type of ingredients. So one is that oregano. That comes from Sicily or Calabria, but it's the oregano on the branch.
Well, one of the things that influenced the development development of Italian-American cuisine was that certain ingredients were not available.
Oh, sure.
And so another kind of food actually was developed in this country. And you seem to want to bridge a gap between the Italian-American food that has been common here and the great food that you discovered in Italy.
Oh, no, sure. I mean, along the way, you know, certain people approached me to, you know, do certain things. And somebody came to me because they knew my family was from Friuli, which is the area above Venice. And they're like, we want you to open up a Friulian restaurant. And I was like, well, you can't open up a Friuli restaurant because there's so many, to be so specific, you need certain types of local ingredients and you can substitute, but it's really not the same. So to do authenticity is a funny word, a very funny word.
You seem to be fairly easygoing when it comes to measurements. And when you were doing this, I imagine that you picked up a handful of something and your wife said, no, wait a minute, we got to find out how many teaspoons that is.
Well, thank God she was there. I mean, the process for the book was Gwen would sit in a chair in the kitchen and I would cook and tell stories, and I was getting yelled at a lot. How much did you put in? Make sure you measure, and even on the retesting of all the recipes, to define, teaspoons and everything. But I say that, that there's two kind of chefs. There's chefs that measure and there's chefs that don't measure. And the chefs that do measure become pastry chefs.
Are you planning to open up a new restaurant?
I am. We are looking at real estate every day. I'm just waiting to find the right situation.
I'd imagine it's easier now than it was just 6 months ago.
It should be. We've been kind of picky, maybe too picky sometimes, I think. I'm getting kind of anxious to start cooking again.
And what kind of food are you going to be cooking?
I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I love it goes back to that problem I discussed earlier about different kinds of music and different kinds of food. I mean, it's going to be delicious and it's going to be casual. It might be Italian. It might be American. It kind of depends on the space. I think, New York is that way a little bit, that if you find a certain space, you'll kind of mold your idea around the space and have a special location.
A reminder that we have put the list of Italian shops in New York City where you can get special ingredients on our website. It's on it right now. Are you still cooking at home?
I am cooking at home.
These recipes?
Well, I did the last big thing I cooked at home was for New Year's Eve. I did a big Mexican feast for New Year's. So we did Polish for Christmas. Big Polish thing, and the pantry is starting to be very confusing because we have Polish honey brandy next to ancho chili peppers. It's getting very eclectic.
It sounds to me like another cookbook is in the works. This one is called Urban Italian, Simple Recipes and True Recipes from A Life in Food by Andrew Carmelini, developed with his wife in their small New York City apartment kitchen. It's got lots of beautiful photographs, and it's published by Bloomsbury. Thank you so much for being with us.
Great. Thanks for having me.